How did the Denver Broncos' loss this past Sunday to the Baltimore Ravens reveal even more flaws with this Broncos offense and what other teams are doing to the Broncos offense as they seemingly have no answer for? You get into that and much more on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome into a brand new episode, Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in and making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day, every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts in audio format or whether you watch us on YouTube. Thank you so much for bearing with us through this up and down, disappointing Broncos season we've covered every single day all year long. With that said, from the South Stands to the End Zone, I'm your host as always, Cody Rourke, Broncos reporter from Mile High Sports, joined alongside as always by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger, site expert, predominantlyorange.com. Sarah, my friend, I feel like as we prepare here for the Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, obviously an afternoon kickoff, it got flexed out of primetime. Thank you for that, by the way, football gods. Outside of that, we always ask ourselves this question: can the Broncos offense get any worse? And surprisingly, they have, and they continue to do just that. And this past Sunday, in a loss to the Baltimore Ravens, it was revealed exactly why they have more flaws than we even imagined.
Right. They've obviously been struggling with personnel issues all year, whether we're talking about injuries or whether we're talking about misusing guys, which is something that we didn't expect to be a problem with this coaching staff. Right, Cody? I mean, we saw, Alan Lazard had 9 touchdowns last year for the Green Bay Packers. The year before that, it was Robert Tonyan with like 11 or 12 or something like that touchdowns. And it's just like, man, you see this, the Nathaniel Hackett, these guys that worked in Green Bay that are now coaching the offense in Denver, maximizing the players around them. And that included, Cody, Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, after the Jordan Love trade or the move to go up and get Jordan Love by the Packers in the NFL draft, Aaron Rodgers was miffed about that. But then he goes out and has multiple MVP seasons in a row. So he expected this coaching staff to come in and kind of maximize the players that they had at their disposal. And even with some injuries here or there, obviously the Broncos have been devastated by injuries, and that's been a huge problem personnel-wise. But really what we're looking at here is a complete misuse of personnel late in the season. The Broncos struggling at the wide receiver position badly. We know this with Jerry Jeudy's injury, KJ Hamler going on IR. Then now you have Cortland Sutton getting injured in the game against the Ravens. Well, we saw a tweet from Mike Kliss on Tuesday morning that kind of talked about the fact that, man, the team went into this game against the Ravens looking to emphasize the tight end position and getting them those additional snaps. Unfortunately, it came at the expense of the passing game and the receivers.
Well, and to that point, right, they want to, Nathaniel Hackett mentioned on Monday, they want to get the run game going. And I get it. You want to bring out more tight ends. You know, you have more numbers, more bodies. You can maybe get a numbers advantage to open up some holes. I understand that. Denver did come out and was run heavy at the very beginning, and then it kind of dissipated, which is crazy because they even had a 9-3 lead, Sarah. And so it's like when you have a lead, your idea is to run the football. There was one drive where the Broncos, it was, I believe they faced a 2nd and 11, and they went to a deep pass to Greg Dulcich that was incomplete. Then with a deep pass to Montrell Washington on 3rd and 11 that also went incomplete. And so we're just seeing like, what is going on? Like if you're at the point where you're now including Montrell Washington as one of your receivers out there, something's wrong. And obviously this was after the Cortland Sutton hamstring injury. So I understand you have to make your adjustments kind of on the fly there. But we talk about guys like Brandon Johnson. We talk about guys like Jalen Virgil. Heck, Jalen Virgil caught his first ever career pass in the NFL several weeks ago, and it was for a touchdown. What have we seen from him? He hasn't even been used, Sarah. So like, to me, I understand, yes, Cortland goes out, I understand you want to get the run game going, but when you are trying to pass the football, you got to get some of these other guys going in there. And I will say too, to our good friend Tim Jenkins, does a great job pointing out on film that you have a lot of these receivers, a lot of these young guys who don't have much experience. They're running route concepts in the same area, which, Sarah, I could tell you from a defensive back standpoint, you make our job so much more easier when you're running the same routes in the same area. And if they're not like pick routes or crossing patterns that make you have to choose, like it, you just sit back there all day in zone. And that's exactly what they did. They sat back. They allowed the Broncos to throw the ball short. They rallied and they tackled. I mean, Denver couldn't even get a third and three on an out route to the floor, or a flat route to Greg Dulcich early on in this game. So once again, this team, and I get personnel plays a big role into it, but I think what we're seeing with personnel plus this coaching staff, you're seeing more flaws on the offensive side of the ball than we previously ever imagined.
Right. And they're putting guys like Albert Okwuegbunam in the doghouse when we can't really understand why. We don't understand what the problem is. And especially when you're going into a game, Andrew Beck injured for this game, Cody. So you went into a game wanting to establish the run. You gave the ball to Latavius Murray 17 times and you didn't have your fullback to help run those wide zone concepts out there and get that lead blocker out in front on those stretch plays. If you wanted to do that, you didn't have him out there. So you're already down a guy and you're utilizing the 12 personnel. You're utilizing Eric Saubert, Greg Dulcich, Eric Tomlinson. You're getting those guys involved, but is the running game really that effective right now to the point that you can legitimately use the excuse, well, Albert Okwuegbunam's a liability as a blocker, so we can't have him out there. Well, your run game hasn't been good anyway with Eric Saubert and Eric Tomlinson out there. So I'm sick of hearing about that, because if the running game is really good and those guys are the reason for it, hey, I'm all for Albert O being inactive. You got the running game working, it's flowing, it's going well, it's the only thing on the offense that's working. But that's not the case. We're not seeing that, and you need a boost in the passing game desperately. You went into this game against Baltimore knowing Jerry Jeudy's on a pitch count, you had to put KJ Hamler on injured reserve, your wide receivers have been terrible the last few weeks, and that's not an indictment on their careers. That's to say, right now, where they're at, they're just not good enough. They're not good enough to be effective at the NFL level against a team that is fifth in the league in sacks. They're putting pressure on the quarterback. So you got all these things, all these factors, and then you kind of put the final nail in the coffin by what you just said, Cody, the quick out to Dulcich. There was multiple plays in this game where they tried to quickly get the ball to the tight end. And why could you not just try it to Albert O? Even Nathaniel Hackett said early in the season, they envision putting him some at the wide receiver position. I just can't fathom it with how the bodies and the situation at wide receiver right now. They just don't have bodies out there. They have guys, but they just don't know what they're doing 100%. And I just don't see how it could hurt to have Albert O out there. So it's just, I'm not sitting here trying to say like, hey, I'm captain of the Albert O fan club and he should be playing. What I'm saying though is like, the constant misuse of personnel, like you mentioned with Jalen Virgil, he gets that long touchdown, the 70 whatever yard touchdown it was against the Titans, as I'm hooting and hollering at Disney World watching it unfold. We have seen literally nothing from him since that happened, and I don't understand it, other than the fumble on the kickoff return. Montrell Washington continues to get these reps when he's either not getting under the ball or he's not making plays in space. I just don't get it, Cody. I think that this coaching staff has so many problems with it right now. And like, I don't know how they can justify keeping a guy like Albert O in the doghouse when you're utilizing purposefully more tight ends in a game like you did against the Baltimore Ravens.
Here's my question, right? I mean, like, what do you have to lose at this point, Sarah? Like, if you're desperate to point where Greg Dulcich was playing some receiver in this past game against the Ravens, why not just throw out Albert O and Greg Dulcich? You know, okay, Cortland Sutton's banged up. Jerry Jeudy is still trying to come along. You know, hats off to Jerry Jeudy, too. I want to give a lot of credit to him. Like, this is a game he probably shouldn't have played in, and he still went out there on a limited pitch count because he's a competitor, and he still made a couple of big plays for Denver to give them a chance. To me, I have nothing but respect for that and for Jerry Jeudy there. But it's like, at this point, Albert O is just wasting away on the bench. We heard George Payton say that he's going to be crucial for us in the second half. We have yet to see him even involved. And I just think that a guy like him, with the issues that receiver Denver's having right now, Albert O could be, I'm not going to say he's going to solve the problems, but he could be a guy that you can maybe use. Why not try it at this point? The season is over from a playoff standpoint. Denver is not making the postseason. This is evaluation season, and you need to see what you have from Albert O and Greg Dulcich, as we've been promised before, that these two guys, they could really do some damage together. We haven't seen it, and I feel like we're getting robbed of that opportunity. So with that said, we talk about the coaching staff and the struggles that they've had, but they're also having a lot of issues making adjustments in the second half, and that's something that Nathaniel Hackett revealed on Monday's press conference as well. We share our thoughts on that and much more. Today's episode, Locked On Broncos, but this episode of the show is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace, and with Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip, get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Or you can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and you just need to get from A to B. Or you could test drive that new electric vehicle that you've had your eye on to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. Lost in the season of the Broncos' offensive struggles. It's been the same story every single week as it pertains to the offensive side of the ball for this Denver team. But even more so, other teams are adjusting to Denver's offense, but Denver can't make adjustments going forward. This is something that was kind of revealed by Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett in Monday's press conference. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in, making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day every single day on your favorite audio podcasting platform or whether you watch on YouTube. We appreciate you so much. Sarah, we talk about really kind of the elephant in the room as it pertains to this offense, right? The inability to put up points, the inability to even get in the red zone. Denver didn't even make it to the red zone in this past game against the Baltimore Ravens, and they still lost despite the defense holding Baltimore to 10 total points. The offense just continues to struggle on third down, but it's to the point there. Like, as much as I love Nathaniel Hackett as a coach, I know what he stands for. I know what he means well. And talking to players love Nathaniel Hackett. We know that the frustration that Broncos country has is in him not winning games, right? And when you're not winning games, you're going to be the worst guy in the public mirror. And that is Nathaniel Hackett at this point in time. But to me, I always get tired of hearing we have to be better on third down, because when you're in third down situations, why aren't you being more efficient on first down? Why aren't you being more efficient on second down? It's not just a third down problem. It's a first down, second down, third down issue for this Broncos team. And to be honest with you, I mean, just every week you can almost imagine, okay, they're going to get one or they're going to get three total conversions on third down, while the rest is going to be like 2 of 12, 3 and 14, 1 and 12, 1 and 13 at that point. Like, that is so inefficient. And this is where this Broncos offense is at. It is mind-boggling to me how bad they truly are.
It really is, Cody. I mean, they have been among the league's worst at this all season. I mean, from the first game of the year, we saw really bad on third down, really bad in the red zone, just situational football in general. The Broncos cannot execute. And I don't know that there's any one reason that you can point to. Obviously, Nathaniel Hackett, like you said, he's going to get the lion's share of the blame. He's the head coach of the team. He's the guy who designed the offense. He's the guy who came in talking about, you know, innovation. He's the guy who at the Nuggets game is like, we're going to score a lot of points, you know, so he deserves that lion's share of the blame, but the players got to go out there and execute as well. And they're simply not doing that. And it's just a comedy of errors on third down. And like you mentioned, it's really about figuring out how you can get into plus situations on first and second down, because when the Broncos do that, I mean, the offense seems to hum a little bit. I know we haven't seen it too often this season, but they do tend to get into some grooves, you know, at times at least, where you're like, okay, things are going well on third down. If you pick up 4 or 5 yards on the ground on first down, it seems like the Broncos, for the most part, can kind of keep things moving along, at least between the 20s. But really, what we're seeing is such a big problem with this moving the ball on first and second down, or penalties on first or second down. You know, you have the big play deep downfield that's followed by, remember the Russell Wilson, you know, he got the delay of game penalty, or you have the big play deep downfield that's followed by a negative play to Montrell Washington because you ran 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's just different things like this. That's like, it's bad play calling. It's bad sequencing. It's bad design. It's bad, you know, it's kind of like somebody who doesn't know how to read the room, right? It's like, well, read the room, man. I mean, come on. Like, there's just certain basic things it feels like the Broncos can't do well. And that includes executing on first and second down. They're constantly behind the sticks, too many runs for no gain, too often getting bullied at the line of scrimmage. And Nathaniel Hackett mentioned it. You know, he's like, we want to stay out of third down if we can't. Well, who wouldn't? But I think it extends beyond that, right? It goes from, okay, in the first half, you saw a little bit of success from the running game. Then the Ravens adjust in the second half, and you can't go out there and make adjustments yourself.
That, I think, is the most disappointing thing when you look at other teams. And look, I'd say Denver defensively, they've made adjustments as well. They've been good at it. So why is it that the offense simply can't do anything different? Like, there are so many limitations that we're seeing, and it's just baffling, Sarah. And I was even saying this as well. Like, it is fun watching the Detroit Lions play football, right? And last year, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL. But now, like, even with some of the same personnel, they are putting up points. I mean, they put up more points in the last game than Denver really kind of put up in the last maybe 6-7 games in totality when we talk about overall offensive production. And I just don't understand how some teams who are in maybe some worse situations, right? I'd say, like, personnel right now, Denver's probably in the worst position in the NFL when it comes to personnel as it stands today. But there are other teams who have bad personnel that are still executing at a high rate on offense. They're getting first downs. They're getting in the red zone. They're getting more points than Denver is scoring. And we all know Denver is on par to finish the season with the lowest amount of points scored since 2000, held by the Cleveland Browns. Denver's at 110 total points scored on the year. And the Cleveland Browns in 2000, they only scored 161. And Sarah, they're at 5 games left, and against the teams that Denver has to play, I'm sorry, they're not even coming close to scoring at least 50 points there. I'd be shocked if they scored more than 22, 23 points at this juncture with how things are going and at the rate that they're getting points. Their only points this season are coming off of Brandon McManus's leg, and that simply is not good enough. And you have to hope and pray that the defense can somehow get a takeaway for a touchdown in order to maybe have a little bit of security blanket or comfort or breathing room against another opposing team. But that is not the reality of this team. They are continuing to struggle. And unfortunately, it just doesn't seem like Denver has an answer this year. But I kind of find a little bit of solace as what you and I talked about on yesterday's episode, Lockdown Broncos. We look at other teams that have been in really bad situations on offense, and all of a sudden, those teams are now putting up points. Their offensive production is better. The New York Giants and Daniel Jones being one of them. The Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa being another option. I don't think it's going to get better this year for Denver, but depending on what they do this offseason, you have to have optimism. You have to have some belief that they will be better than they were this year next season. And
right.
How long is that going to take? Who knows? How are we going to approach training camp? Who knows what to be excited about, what to get into? We'll obviously approach that when it comes here in the Locked On Broncos podcast. But Broncos country, on today's episode of the show, one thing Sarah and I are going to do, there's some quarterback movement after Josh Johnson was poached away by the San Francisco 49ers. We did an episode talking about, should the Broncos place a claim on Baker Mayfield? We take a look at some quarterback movement for this Broncos football team towards the end of the season. Is there anything to look into? You get that and much more on today's episode of the show. But before we do that, this episode of the show is brought to you by BetOnline.net, the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. And BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer to esports. We've got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those as well at BetOnline. We're always the fastest and the easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Quarterback movement around the National Football League is always critical at this time of the year as teams are evaluating some potential future contracts, but more so for this Denver Broncos team that is tied up to Russell Wilson for at least the next 4 or 5 seasons. What might they do looking at the quarterback position long term? Thank you so much, Broncos country, taking a look at Locked On Broncos, making us your first listen of the day every single day on your favorite audio podcasting platform or whether you watch on YouTube. Sarah, we know that Josh Johnson was signed off the practice squad after Jimmy Garoppolo broke his foot in Sunday's game. They had Brock Purdy come in and all of a sudden light it up, Mr. Irrelevant. And it's like, oh, Denver can't even do what Brock Purdy's doing. That, to me, I think is always frustrating. But it does seem that at this point in time, after Josh Johnson was picked up, Denver has been taking a look at quarterback, right? Because you can't just have Brett Rippon and Russell Wilson on your roster. You have to have another guy in your practice squad. They did make a move. They signed a quarterback to the practice squad early on Monday, but they're also bringing in another quarterback for a visit.
They are. Tuesday, Nathan Rourke, the CFL star quarterback. I call him Cody, you know, Nathan Cody Rourke. No,
there we go.
I think it's Yeah, right. I mean, the former Ohio, are they the Bobcats there in Ohio? I mean, the star quarterback for them got a shot at camp with the New York Giants as a wide receiver, incidentally. But then just he went up to Canada. He starts tearing it up for the BC Lions up there, Cody, in nine starts, 10 games overall. This dude threw for almost 3,400 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 picks, and immediately starts getting looks from NFL teams. And understandably so, when you're throwing for, you know, almost 340, 350 yards a game. I think definitely something interesting here. You know, you read some of the Canadian Football League sites and the reports that they're saying, like the people who are actually close to this guy, they say that this he's not interested in the practice squad. He's not interested in kind of messing around. Like he's only going to leave Canada, where he's probably got a pretty comfortable job right now. He's only going to leave Canada if he has a good shot of being a QB2 somewhere, which does make the Broncos kind of interesting, right? Because like we talked about, I think in 2023, the Broncos have to have a better contingency plan for Russell Wilson in case something like this does happen, where he's dealing with a torn lat, an injured hamstring, and he's not effective and he can't play at the highest level out there. And you can turn to somebody who's either proven to be decent or has upside to be decent. So that's where I think this Nathan Rourke guy comes into play. He's already got a look from the Raiders. He's already got a look from the Jaguars. I think other teams called him earlier on in the process, but as of right now, the Broncos have the most recent visit with this guy, which is kind of interesting. I mean, you look up some of the highlights on Twitter and YouTube and stuff, and obviously highlights are what they are. They're just highlights, but the guy's got a strong arm and obviously very productive in a short amount of time in Canada. So kind of interesting. Not saying he would be your QB1 or anything, but maybe a very interesting backup candidate.
Well, and it's also worth noting too, right? After this season, Brett Rypien will be a free agent, right? And so Denver's going to have to make some decisions as to like what they want to do. I know how much they love Brett Rypien. I do think that there's going to be a chance when Rypien is done. I think he gets into coaching. Like, you know, for him, like think about it. This past year is Rypien's fourth year in the NFL. He is now vested. His contract is vested. So that means if he wanted to step away from playing this year, right? Unless he had an opportunity to go be a backup quarterback somewhere else, maybe Rypien gets into coaching after this year. And so with that said, I mean, obviously with his contract expiring anyways, the Broncos have to take a look at potential backup options. And I think a lot of this is going to be interesting, right? Because you want to get a guy that can maybe play in multiple systems, that has the ability to play in different schemes. Because as we all believe, the Broncos are going to make a ton of changes on the offensive side of the ball after this season. And I know fans want to see that now. Heck, I'm even at the point like, just, you know, what changes could they make right now? Like, I would like to see it, because anything has to be better than what we've been witnessing week in and week out. It would be a different story, Sarah, with this Broncos team if they were in games, they were competitive on the offensive side of the ball, and they're trading barbs with the team. And let's say they lose by a last-second field goal. I think you live with that, right? But I have a hard time living with the fact that our post-game shows every single week since week one, for the most part, have literally been the same exact reason why they have lost. To me, this has been probably the most draining season I've had covering the Broncos, just because it hasn't been entertaining, right? The defense has been fun to watch, don't get me wrong. But just the offense has been the same exact thing, a complete control C, control V on the screen every single week. I think you have to find a way to mix things up a little bit here. And also, you have to make the thing, like, if once you get towards the end of the season, Sarah, obviously the Broncos are not going to be in the playoffs. You have to make a decision. With your investment in Russell Wilson, do you sit him for like the final couple of games of the season so you can protect your investment in him? Because what happens if he were to get hurt in the last, you know, one of the last games of the season, last two or three games is completely meaningless, right? At this point, there's nothing that Russell Wilson could do outside of maybe hitting a couple incentives. But even then, I don't even think he's close to hitting any incentive marks that were putting in his contract, essentially. So for me, I like that. And they also signed a practice squad quarterback, Jarrett Garantano. He played college ball at Tennessee and Washington State, worked out for the Broncos earlier a few weeks ago. And then obviously, as you noted, he makes the connection there with Zach Azani when he was at Tennessee, when he committed there in 2015 and 2016. I mean, we even could see Azani potentially departing after this year. I mean, he's been a guy that's been on the roster. How many coaching staffs? Two coaching staffs now, essentially, since he's come in. And he's done it. Like it's been crazy. Actually, this is what, three coaching staffs. He was with Joseph, he was with Vic, yeah, and he's with Hackett. Like he's been one of those stakeholders that's kind of stayed around here. But as we see with like the guys, the depth that, you know, we're talking about, even they are struggling at the receiver position with route concepts and landmarks and timing. So yeah, I think when we look at this offense, we'll see changes, but also at the quarterback position minus Russell Wilson, I do think we're going to see a ton of change here for Denver.
We are. And I think you get a guy in there, this Jarrett Guarantano guy who's got some upside. I mean, played well in the preseason with the Cardinals. And so I think you get a guy in there that's just a dart throw, right? I mean, you want to see who you can bring into camp next year and see what they've got. But I agree with you, Cody, on the more pressing topic than really who you're adding to the practice squad at this time. Really, the more pressing thing is, do you give Russell Wilson the last four games of the season? Because we know he's obviously going to be playing this week, as far as we know, right? So do you give him the last month of the season to kind of take off, get healthy, prevent any further injury? Because what is the worst thing that could happen? Well, a lot of people would already say that the worst case scenario is realized. You've tied yourself to Russell Wilson for the next, like you said, 3, 4, 5 years financially, and you're stuck with that decision. But what would be worse than that is being stuck financially and him being injured, like tearing an ACL or going out there and doing something and getting really badly hurt to where he's not even able to play next year. I think that would be worst case scenario, right? So you got to make sure you protect your investment. I think that's partly why you and I talked about the potential of the Baker Mayfield thing and that kind of making some sense over the course of the remainder of the season. I mean, throw a dart and see what sticks, right? So I'm all for it, but as far as adding quarterbacks, I'm interested. I don't think it has any relevance to next year's starter, obviously. But at the same time, very interesting because we did see Brett Rippon start a game this year. You never know what's going to happen down the line.
I mean, with this Broncos team, you never truly know what's going to happen. And, you know, Broncos country, we're fortunate, we're thankful, we're grateful that you were here along the ride with us, because we're sitting here waiting for something good to happen as well alongside everybody in Broncos country. We appreciate your interaction as always, whether you listen to your favorite audio podcasting platform, whether you tweet us on Twitter at @CodyRourkeNFL, at Sarah Bettinger, at Lockdown Broncos, or whether you engage with us in the YouTube comment section. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in. We appreciate you so much. We'll be back tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show, as Sarah Bettinger sits down with Chris Clark, host of the Locked On Chiefs podcast, for a crossover episode to preview Sunday's matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, the biggest story for each team, key matchups, and how each team can win their matchup respectively. You get that on Locked On Broncos tomorrow.